Got this going right. Reason y'all see me with two microphones, we're about a year ago, the Lord gave us instruction to begin digitizing our messages, the old ones and the new ones, so that we could put them on the internet where you can, anyone in the world, if they have access to the internet and want to listen to the messages, they don't. And maybe they don't want to, you know, if you're in Australia and you order tapes from us, we're happy to send them. But it might take, you know, by the time we get them in the mail, it might probably be 2 weeks. And then sometimes going to some of these countries, it's 2, 3, 4 weeks before they get there. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, just to be able to sit there and listen to the tape at your own, listen to the message at your own computer. So, the Lord provided a way for us to acquire this little mini disc recorder, and it does a real high quality job, and then we're able to put that into the computer. And those of you that haven't been to the website in a while, January 1st, we posted our first messages, and they're there right now. Now, we have a little apology statement there, like, please be patient with us while we're learning the best way to do this. We're still tinkering with the quality in different formats, but it's already good enough. You can get the message, okay? Now, see, that's just one more example of following the instructions that loose the Holy Spirit to do things. Okay, I guess we're just going to dive right into it. Let me pray my prayer first, okay? Gary, why do you pray that same prayer all the time? Well, because I want the same results. He answers this one, and I like it. So if you would, just join me in prayer here. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful to be in a free country where we can gather together to worship and study your word and be taught. We don't have to worry about rifle butts being put to our heads and having to hide. Father, thank you for America. Keep America free. Keep this land strong that we can continue to send your gospel around the world. And Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight already. Father, I ask again, give me the mind of Christ. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth his mind with simplicity and so clearly that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Father, I ask that you anoint the hearers, anoint their ears with ear salve, cause the clamor of the world to grow silent now, so that they can hear with their spirit what you're saying to them individually, to this church, and to your body at large. Father, we want you to have your way here. The service is yours. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be opening up again to John 14. We'll probably launch out from there again. While you're turning there, I'm going to read again, because I know we have at least one that's, this is their first time to be able to come to these services. Might be others. When I was praying about what the Lord would have us minister on, it seemed to be this area about receiving instructions, real instructions, from the mind of Christ. How many of you know Jesus is alive and well? He's seated right now in his glorified body at the right hand of the Father. He is still the head of the church and Lord of all, is he not? Now, he has instructions for his body, just like he had instructions for the 12 when they followed him on the earth. We are his body. So we are to receive instructions from him. Now, the instructions, when Peter was following Jesus, as we've demonstrated the past two nights, his method of following Jesus before the cross was quite a bit different than the way we follow Jesus now. He could see Jesus. He could physically touch Jesus. He could hear Jesus with his ear gate, see him with the eye gate. And if Jesus, if you wanted to follow Jesus, when Jesus started going somewhere, you could see him going somewhere, and so you just fell in behind him, you know. And if he wanted to give you an instruction, he spoke with his mouth, so it was instructions from his soul by his mouth to your ear, to your soul. And then you understood that. And if you had questions, you could ask and make sure you understood. And then you could go do what the Master said do. Now that's the way Jesus, that's the way Peter and the 12 followed Jesus up until the cross. But once Jesus ascended into heaven, then he says, I've got another way that you're going to follow me now. And that's what he was telling the disciples in John chapter 14. Let's go ahead and read that part first. John 14:16, he's instructing them all through this section about the change that's coming. He's letting them know, I'm going to be with the Father. Now, you've been following me in the natural, in my fleshly body, for three and a half years, but I'm fixing to go back to heaven. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless, and we've studied that. That's the word orphanos. I'm not going to leave you like orphans to find your own way. No, you're still going to be following me, but it's going to be by the agency of the Holy Ghost. So let's look here in John 14:16. It says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And we've demonstrated the past two nights, and I don't believe he wants to do that again tonight. We would have, I had Pastor Christie come up and stand as Jesus to represent him, and I represented Peter. And up until the cross, if I wanted to follow Jesus, I just followed in the natural. I could see him, I could hear him, and I would follow him. But then when Jesus ascended to the throne, now notice he says, I'm going to send you, I'm going to pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. And then I had the Holy Ghost, just raise your hand, Holy Spirit. I had the Holy Spirit come up on purpose. So that it would impact your mind. When he says another comforter, he means a different person. See, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now again, if we start thinking about this too much, our brain starts leaking right out our left ear, okay? Because there's only one God, yet there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus, and neither of them are the Father. Yet there's only one God. Hold your hand over your left ear now. But we know it's true. It's an infinite God trying to reveal himself to a finite people. And apparently that's the best way it can be done. But anyway, I had him come up and stand here to represent, just to impact our brain. This is another comforter. Who would be the first comforter? That would be Jesus. Now we've got another comforter. Who's that? Holy Spirit. But then I had him go sit down because I wanted to impact you. It's another person. But just because he sat down, that does not mean the Holy Spirit left my side. And so last night we talked about sort of the dilemma that we have, because come on down here, verse 17, he says, let's read 16 again to get the flow. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now last night we looked at this part, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I told y'all I had a problem there. See, because when I look around, I just imagine Peter the first day after Jesus ascended. Well, let's put it this way, after the day of Pentecost, we know for sure the Holy Spirit had baptized them in the Holy Ghost. We know for sure the Holy Spirit was right there. Now that first morning after that, he wakes up. He remembers what Jesus said. The world can't receive the Holy Ghost because it can't see him. Peter's looking around. I can't see him either. One day it dawned on me. I said, I think I'm beginning to find out why I'm having a little trouble following you, Jesus. You said here the world can't see the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I'm having a little trouble seeing him myself. Well, then last night we went into 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to see what he... You don't go there tonight. Get last night's tape. We got too much to cover. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to see what he was talking about. What he was really talking about is by the agency of the new nature. When you get born again, then you have a spirit within you, spawned from God the Father. Now you have an ability to discern the Holy Ghost. You're able to discern spiritual things. You do have... See, if my spirit man, if you're born again, if Dave does it this way, I can't improve on it. You know, and we could teach this from the rich man and Lazarus. You know, the rich man who just stepped over Lazarus. Lazarus was the guy that was covered with sores and everything. And the rich man would just step over him, wouldn't even give him the crumbs off of his table. And you know what happened? The rich man and Lazarus both died, and the rich man wound up in hell. Plainly says he wound up in hell. But it says in hell he lifted up his
eyes.
Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Now that guy's body is in the ground. So what part of him is in hell? Spirit and soul, right? Now wait a minute. You mean your spirit man has eyes? All right. Now Lazarus, his body's in the ground. He's died. He's over in Abraham's bosom. But notice the rich man said, he said about Lazarus, he says, would you have him go dip the tip of his finger? Well, wait a minute. Now, a spirit has tips of fingers.
Hallelujah.
So far we know that our spirit has eyes, and our spirit at least has tips of fingers. But he says that he'd dip it in water and come place it on my... You wondered how you was able to speak in tongues, didn't you? Your spirit man's got a tongue. Spirit man's got one. You can use your tongue if you let him. Praying in tongues is the voice of your spirit.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff right there, isn't it? That was worth the price of admission if we had one. I always wondered how that happened. Well, my spirit... See, and so we could do it like this. I mean, you can tell if our spirit man's got eyes and our spirit man's got tips of fingers and our spirit man's got tongues. If somehow my spirit man was able to step right out and stand right beside my body here, he'd look a whole lot like me, except to be less wrinkles and younger looking. I honestly don't think we're going to age spiritually past 33, because that's when Jesus was cut off. 33, I remember 33. I looked a lot different at 33. That's pretty good age. I like 33. Anyway. Okay, I'll go with that, babe. Hallelujah. Boy, now see, there she is. I'm still Twitter-pated after all these years, huh? Ready to go with her now, anyway. Hallelujah. Well, we learned last night, though, that our spirit man, that spirit on the inside of us, is spawned of God. Its citizenship is in heaven. We talked about the fact we're really every believer on earth. We're really not of this world, just like Jesus said. He left us in these earth suits as camouflage. These poor unsuspecting sinners, they see you walking up and they think you're just a normal human like them. They don't know you're an invader from another world. Come to rescue them from hell. They don't know. They think you're just another, you know, just another human. It's scary. And it's wonderful. See? But the body of Christ, the religion has done everything except nurture the part of us. Teach us how to nurture and cause to mature and grow up that spirit man that was spawned on the inside of you the day you were born again. Religion keeps telling you you're just an old slimy dog worm. Basically, it says you're forgiven but not changed. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. Now listen, we got that straight. You was an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you're a child of the living God in the process of renewal of the soul, maturity of the spirit unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What God would like is that some of us grow up where He can hand us a little bit of the inheritance that's belonged to us the whole time. And I'm not just talking about financial inheritance, but I am talking about that. But I'm also talking about anointings.
Yes.
and giftings and your calling.
That's the one. Amen.
He's trying to get us to grow up to the point we won't go out and merchandise it and sell it. You know, build empires that exalt us and not Jesus. And we know a minister right now in Florida where you can go get a prophecy for $300. Oh yeah, you know. Sell you holy water, slivers from the cross, and everything else. Got to watch that kind of stuff. But see, what we need is instructions from heaven. We need is the right now speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ to each one of us individually. I declare unto you with everything that is in me, the leadership we are to have with the Holy Ghost is to be just as precise as the leadership Peter had when he followed Jesus in the flesh. None diminished. The reason for the glorification, if all of us was going to follow Jesus the way Peter followed Jesus, we'd all have to geographically be where Jesus is. See, if he was still on the earth, we'd all have to, if he had come over and if he was in Cincinnati, we'd have to all of us be in Cincinnati to get our marching orders. This could get to be a problem when there's several million. See? But by doing it this way, he can be glorified. He can take his position as the head of all, Lord of all, really, at the right hand of the Father. And by the agency of the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere at once and also everywhere singular at once,
amen,
we can each one of us receive our marching orders on a moment-by-moment basis directly from the throne of God. I mean, it's like you individually following Jesus by the agency of the Holy Ghost, and he has nothing else to do but lead you. He's got all the time there is, all the wisdom there is, all the power there is. This is really a good gospel if it's ever preached. It's a wonderful thing if we ever get to hear it. Glory to God. Well, back in September of 98, I got to read this to you again before we can really get on with it. September of 98, we'd already been in full-time ministry for a few years, and it's not like we weren't seeking the Lord during this particular time. And the only reason I tell you this is just so you'll know that we weren't slacking. But the Lord had made it possible for me during this period of time. September of 1998, I was spending literally between 8 and 12 hours a day praying in other tongues and worshiping God and meditating the Bible. I wasn't doing anything else. Okay? Do you call that a serious seeking time? It's not like I was slacking. Now, what was going on then, because what I really wanted, I needed answers. I had some things coming up, I had some decisions to make, and I didn't want to make them on my own. I wanted his mind for it. I wanted his instructions for it. But it seemed like the more I prayed, what I would get from him was revelation knowledge of the Word. Boy, he would open up whole passages and explain it to me. He'd give me teachings and visions. And a lot of the things that we've taught for years came out of that period of time. And, you know, after a while, I don't know how you talk to the Lord. I kind of treat him like he's real. I said, Lord, it's not that I don't appreciate these things. These are wonderful things, and I see how they bless me. I know they'll bless the body. Do you understand I've got problems? I need answers. I've got some decisions ahead of me. I've got to go one way or the other. I've got to make some decisions. You do know I'm over here trying to get your mind for that. Now, am I amongst friends again? Has anyone else ever been there? He came to my rescue, the Holy Spirit did, this day in September, and he told me why I was having so much trouble. I want to quote it again. He says, you're having difficulty, now this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. He said, you're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when his instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. Well, boy, he was exactly right. Seems like that's why he was not withholding any good thing from me even then. My problem was all my thinking was contained in a little box called man. What is possible for man? I kept thinking in terms of what do you want me to do? Let us get real. Things like, do you want me to pass out tracts? Do you want me, you just pick something. You want us to go on TV? Do you want us to go on the radio? Do you want me to publish books? Do you want, just start listing them. You know, listing all the things. Everything I was thinking was all about, what do you want me to do? And that's exactly why I was not hearing it's not that he wasn't speaking. I wasn't listening out there. I wasn't even thinking about that Holy One who's standing right next to me until he started wising me up. One day he said to me, he says, you do know that I can accomplish more for you in a single day than you could accomplish yourself in 1,000 lifetimes. And I went, yep, that's not hard to figure. He said, so which is more important? You being off busy doing your stuff or learning how to listen to me so I can do my stuff? I'm paraphrasing, but that's was the message. In other words, plain English. He's telling me to keep my hiney in the prayer closet.
Amen.
Is that plain enough for you?
Amen.
Quit thinking other stuff that I'm doing is so big and important. The most important thing in my life was learning to hear His voice. See? Well, we've given you some examples. It's on those previous tapes, and he hasn't been letting me do a whole lot of review. But tonight, when I was seeking Him, you know, we got tonight and two more nights, and I sure don't want to waste your time, and apparently neither does he, because we've been talking about those things, simple instructions, yes, sir, that release the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you this one. Now, I told you I'm going to teach you from the Word, and then we're going to give you examples from our life, okay? Remember a time when it came tax time, and the tax collector came and told Peter, said, it's time to collect the tax, and, where is it? And apparently Peter didn't have it on him, and if you read that, he was going back into the house. And it doesn't say this, but the only reason I can figure he was going in to see Judas probably to get the money out of the bag. You know, that Judas carried a bag, and that's from those funds is where they gave to the poor and did other things. So I'm just assuming he was going into the house, and he Jesus, he says, where are you going? Told him about the tax bill. And Jesus had a different plan. Everyone say different plan.
Different plan.
All right. Now, Jesus, I reckon, could get that tax bill paid about any way that he wanted to. But how many of you know he says, I don't do anything but what I see my Father doing. And I don't even say anything but what I hear my Father say it. So Jesus is in constant communication with his Father. How do you reckon that was possible? The Father being in heaven and Jesus being on the earth. Who do you reckon was bringing him that communication? That's the Holy Ghost. Same one we've got. Not a different one. Same one. Alright? So he received an instruction from heaven. Now watch how this looses the Holy Ghost. He says, no, Peter, don't do that. He says, just go fishing. How many of y'all have ever had had a bill come up that was due and you didn't have the money for it? I mean, let's just be honest. Anyone ever been there? I've been there so many times I have to raise off fingers and toes, okay? How many of y'all, the thing that made sense to you to solve that problem was go fishing? That's not normal, is it? You know? What is and the interesting thing is, fishing is what Peter used to do for a living. But he says, no, I don't want you to go back into the commercial fishing business. He says, I want you to take the first fish that comes up, take the coin out of its mouth, and it'll be enough for you to pay your taxes and mine. Now let's think about this. Let us think for a moment about this. Let's look at, are these instructions from the mind of Christ? He spoke them, right? All right. Now, which does he do anything that's not the will of the Father? So this is the will of the Father. Now, I can just try. I have meditated this and tried to put myself in Peter's shoes. Let's see. We have a tax bill. The tax man is waiting outside the door. I went in. I was just going to simply get the money to pay it. But Jesus, he sends me fishing. And I'm supposed to take... I mean, I've been a fisherman my entire life. And I have never yet caught a fish that had gold in its mouth. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? Same kind of stuff that goes through our mind. But see, Peter had already been following Jesus long enough. He's going to obey this. So you know the story. He goes, sure enough, catches that first fish, opens the mouth. There it is. Glory to God, there's the gold. Enough to pay the tax bill. Now think about this. How many of y'all can calculate the number of fish in the sea? How many you reckon there are in that Sea of Galilee? I assume is where he was, the Sea of Galilee. They don't call it the Lake of Galilee for a reason. It is big. Lots of fish in there. Now, what do you reckon the odds are that just by chance? Here, Peter's been a fisherman his whole life. He's made a whole his living is made catching fish. His whole life he's never caught one that had a gold in its mouth. What do you reckon the odds are, the percentages? I think winning that lotto thing would be, you'd have a better shot at that. You know, just by chance. No. See, somebody was listening to Jesus' words. Somebody had to go out through those waters. And if there was not a fish that had already swallowed the gold piece, then the Holy Spirit had to first direct the fish to the gold piece, cause the fish to swallow it, then swim right to where Peter is going to be, beat the other fish out of the way. You ever thought about the role that the Holy Ghost played in this thing? You know? And probably, just knowing my father like I do now, I think the Holy Ghost had already done all that and had that fish waiting on Peter. But the Holy Ghost was definitely involved. Would you call that an instruction that released the power of the Holy Spirit to solve a problem? Next time you have a tax bill or any kind of bill, see, we don't ever even think like that. We never even think about turning to the one who is with us. Everyone, just for practice sake, I know he's in you. I know he's with you, right? Just for practice sake, everyone turn your head to the right. Say, hello, Holy Ghost. You with me? I apologize right now for forgetting that. How seldom do we ever think, even on natural things like paying a tax bill, even on the natural things, to even think. See, that was what was happening with me. That's what he's telling me. He says, you're just still thinking, you know, how does man solve those kind of problems? Well, we've got to get it. Here we go again. Maybe I can work some overtime. Maybe during Christmas season, you know, they're hiring extra help. Maybe we can sell the second car. Maybe we can. Here we go. And he may or may not have you do any of those things. But the problem with the body of Christ is we don't ever ask. We don't treat him like he's here. We don't treat him like he's real. And even when we do hear him most of the time, we don't think it's him. And I'll prove that to you. I'm going to make myself the fool now, and I'm going to show you some times when we did do it and times when we didn't do it. San de labrastore. Yes, sir. Pura macaste in de labrato. There's so much on those two tapes from the last two nights now. Get those tapes. Because he's just not going to let me review much of it. We just got too much ground to cover. You're going to load you up with all you can bear. I may not be back for a year. Okay? All right. Yes, sir. Porondere brastu sindele brucubasti, sandele brato. Hallelujah. He wants to talk about, say, how do I start, Gary? How did you start? All right. I think he wants to talk about cumulative obedience. The word cumulative means you have something, and then you accumulate more, and then you accumulate more, and it'll, you know, it's like a snowball. You start a little bitty snowball rolling down a hill, and as it goes, it accumulates more snow, doesn't it? And what starts off as something you can hold in the palm of your hand, if it's a big enough hill and you got enough snow, by the time it gets down to the bottom of that mountain, it can be knocking houses down. It can be a powerful thing. And I found cumulative obedience to be just like that. That he doesn't start off with giant, massive projects. Everyone say, thank God for that. It starts off little things. You know, that's why the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings.
Amen.
You learn to start obeying Him in the little things. I'm going to give you some examples. Now, before I do that, I'm going to go to the end. Well, not even, just where we are right now. Let me do that. Now, what I'm about to say to you in no way is bragging on me and Sue, because I'm just flat here to tell you we're not this smart. Plus, we never set out to build a ministry in the first place. Neither one of us ever sat down and went, what can we do to build a ministry? From the beginning, we were taught to pray and obey. Okay? So, let me talk about where it is right now. See, here's the wisdom of God. Here's the value of following step by step by step, small, simple instructions. As I am speaking to you tonight, what is today? January 15th? It's my mother's birthday. That's right, I talked to her this morning. 82 years old today, glory to God. She's known Jesus more than anybody here has been alive. My mama can hear the Holy Ghost too. Don't mess with my mama. Anyway, as I'm speaking to you in White Plains, New York on January 15th, my voice right at this same moment is being heard by tape in most likely every state in the Union, Canada, and 35 other nations. I'm preaching here, and probably at least one person in maybe 36 nations at the same time. Not to mention people that right at this moment are reading the lessons that we have posted at the website. And not to mention at this moment the people who are listening to those new messages we've just posted recently. Now, would you call that... Oh, and all of it being made available free.
Yes.
All of it free. Absolutely no hook later on. No appeal letters, no anything. Absolutely free to the whole world. I'm telling you right now, I am not smart enough to do that. Had the Lord told me in the very beginning that if He'd have said, Gary, here's my plan for you. I want you and Sue to do a tape ministry that will feed more than 5,000 families in 36 nations, and I want you to do it all for free and pay the postage and don't put in a return envelope. If He would have told me that when it was taking every bit of our faith to believe in the next biscuit on our coffee, on our dinner table, I'd have been like Jonah. I'd have got in the boat and sailed the other way. I'd have been, no, this is impossible. That's why He doesn't tell us that way. He starts us off tiny little things, and if you obey Him on that, He'll try you on something a little bigger, and He'll try you on something a little bigger. Now, last night, for those of you that weren't here, we gave the testimony of how this last year He increased our stewardship by $4,000 a month. It always gets quiet when I say that. Why does get the tape from last night? But see, He already knew, because we'd shown Him that in that particular case, He could send an extra $4,000 to our house a month and we wouldn't take a red penny of it. And that we'd use it for His work and not us. But people, it didn't start off as $4,000 a month. Now let me go way back to the early days. Let me take you back to those thrilling days of yesteryear when we were just trying to learn how to hear His voice our own selves. And I could come up with a lot of examples. But we're talking about cumulative obedience. Cumulative obedience. I remember, since we're on the subject of money right now, one time we were sitting in the church there at the prayer center. This was in the days when money was staying away from us in vast abundance. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, $10 was a lot of money to us at that time. $10 was a lot. Everyone say a lot.
A lot.
I mean, $10 was a lot. I'm trying to emphasize it was a lot of money. And we're fixing to, it was offering time. And, bow your head, like they say, listen to the Holy Ghost. And we're expecting to hear the Holy Spirit tell us what to put in the offering. But boy, this time I heard His voice real clear. Now remember, He has several ways of communicating the mind of Christ to you. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit. Remember that? We've talked about visions and dreams. Y'all remember that? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Now here's one. I've had Him speak to us. He has too, in an external voice, where we can't tell. We kind of think if you was in the room, you'd have heard Him. You can do that. But most of the time, it's that inward voice. That's what it was this time. Just at offering time, boy, I mean, just as clear as a bell, but I knew it was on the inside, not coming from the outside. He said, he showed, you know, there's a certain lady that was sitting in a few pews up from us, over to the right. His instructions, real quick, says, give that lady $10 now. It was like this.
Amen.
Give that lady $10 now. Now, how much was $10 to us? Okay. And it was, I mean, we have a split second to think about this. Because that when he said now, okay, boy, yeah, I'll be honest with you. See, I want to be transparent. I want you, Sue and I don't try and present. Can you all tell we're normal? We're not presenting ourselves as something, you know, we're just normal folks. I got to be honest with you. My first thought, my absolute first thought was, maybe I don't have $10 on me. Maybe I have a 20 or something else, because that way it wouldn't be him. And I wouldn't have to give it. Am I being plain enough?
Yeah.
I reach in there, guess what I got in my wallet? $10 is right there, you know. Man, get that out and kind of sneak over like this, you know, try not to make a show. And she was in front of us, so I come up behind her, you know, and just kind of went like this. And put it in her hand and left. But boy, as soon as she saw it, tears. Now, tears just started flowing. I knew something was going on that I didn't know. Tears began to flow out of her eyes. Found out later on, her and her husband were in a world of hurt. She so loved, but they love God. There's a lot of things happening in their life. They didn't know why it was happening, but they loved God. She so wanted to give. And besides that, another thing that had a play in it was the common teaching out there. These people needed help from God. And you know what's taught out there. If you don't give, you can't receive.
That's right.
She didn't have anything to give whatsoever. I didn't know it, but at the moment that he had me put that $10 in her hand, here comes the offering plate. She was slipping off her wedding ring to put in that offering bucket because they needed help from God. And God didn't want her giving up her wedding ring. He knew that was false doctrine they're being taught anyhow. But He needed somebody who could hear the head and be His hand. Now you know the scripture that says, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's tons in that verse that we've never been taught yet. For example, why doesn't it say, simply, all things are possible? Why doesn't it say that? See, because the common thinking is God is not God all powerful? Is not God sovereign? Can't, you know, see, you take the, you keep going with that thinking. Well, he can do whatever he wants to do. No, he can't. No, he can't either. That's why it says all things are possible to him that believeth. And whether religion has told you this or not, and this makes religious devils mad, he needs you. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Now you tell me, how in the name of all that's holy is Jesus in heaven going to be able to hand somebody $10 if he can't get a member of his body to be the hand? How can Jesus preach to a country if he can't find a mouth to go do it? How can Jesus lay hands on the sick if we're all afraid and intimidated to do it? He needs us. We are the body. And he's the head, all right. He is Lord. But all things are possible to him that believeth. And boy, now see, if he hadn't have got me or somebody that night to obey him, because she was in such turmoil, she just couldn't hear him. But that 10 plus were just all, you know, pounded with that doctrine all the time. So if he hadn't found me or somebody else to put that $10 into her hand, you know what would have happened? Her wedding ring would have gone in that bucket, whether it's his will or not.
That's right.
Now that's why Jesus said, why pray this prayer? See, how did Jesus tell us to pray? Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Stop. Well, and thy will be done. Why pray that if God could just do it anyway? He needs us. In fact, the vast majority of the time, his will isn't done. You just want to know the truth of it? Can't find anybody grown up enough to hear him? Can't find anyone dead enough to obey him? Including moi, who was hoping there wasn't a $10 bill.
When he was teaching us how to obey his instructions, about this same time, I was sitting there in the service, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me in the same way and told me to give this lady $20. And I said, well, Lord, I don't even think I have $20 in my purse. Right at that second, the lady sitting in front of me over reached out her hand and gave me more than $20 because we had a garage sale together and she was bringing the money to me. And I said, I just looked at, all right, well, Lord, I'll just give her all of this. And he said very strongly, no, that will be adding to my word. So he taught me, yes, you can purpose in your heart to give any amount you want to any person you want to or ministry that you want to. He says you can in his word. But when he speaks to you specifically, you obey exactly to the letter what he says.
Amen. Amen. We're going to keep this handy. Amen. Glory to God. See, I've known for a while that it's time for her voice to start being added to these things. How many of you know, men, isn't it a blessing? God made these women different than us. They think different than us. And they see things from a different perspective. Boy, sometimes I'll hear, she and I will interpret the same event, you know, but the way a man sees it and the way a woman sees it, boy, when she shares it with me, I get a lot more out of it. Glory to God. Yeah, it works both ways. Works both ways. Now, let's just go with this point for a moment. See, sometimes it doesn't, I mean, God does allow you to purpose in your heart what you want to give. But there are times when he specifically wants you given a certain set amount. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this one. I wasn't planning on doing this tonight, but apparently this is okay with him. Just the Sunday before we left, I do a Sunday night service at the prayer center every Sunday night. And it's I do a teaching, and then we have a time of intercession for our city. And I give them about a 5-minute break in between those two things in case they need to use the facilities. And so during the break, this lady comes up to me and hands me a note. And it's just a torn off piece of notebook paper. And it's folded over so I can't see what's written on the inside. She's real short. She's about this tall. I just love her to pieces. She comes up to me and she's handed me this note, and there's a look of fear and trembling almost. She says, "Gary, look at this, and I hope you tell me it doesn't mean anything. Look at this. Look at what I've written here, and I'm hoping you tell me it doesn't mean nothing to you." I said, "Okay." So I take the note and I open it up, and all that's on there is a dollar sign, 520.00. $520, just a handwritten on a piece of paper. And at that moment, how many of y'all have ever been standing in faith for a certain amount of money? Yeah. I mean, I've stood in faith for hundreds and thousands and God knows what all. Now, see, if I'm in one of those projects, had I been standing and believing God for some reason for $520, then of course I would have told her, well, yes. But to be honest with you, we weren't. We weren't in a thing like that. And so at the moment I said, well, no, I can't say that it does mean anything to me. She went, "Oh, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Give me that paper." She goes and she sits down, hallelujah. She's all relieved and everything. Well, then we get into the intercession. Finally gets quiet enough and the Holy Ghost shows me what's going on. And I think she knew when I got it. Because I'm up there doing what I do, and then I just looked right at her, and I said, when I looked, it was almost like the fear, like the look of, oh no. I just said, I need to see you after the service. And she went, I knew it. Yeah. So after the service, and I got her off to the side, and I said, I don't know what's going on with you and the Holy Ghost, but I said, I didn't make a connection with that number until later. But I said, now this is interesting, but today, at different times, people come up sometimes and because they've been receiving tapes or just the Lord tells them. See, the deal He always made with us was, as long as we do the ministry the way He told us, His promise to us was, I will speak to the hearts of the people. That's why we never even let people know what our needs are. Because He said He would do that. So people just come up once in a while, and they'll slip a check in your pocket, or they'll put a $20 bill in your pants or something, And it had dawned on me that day, we had been given one check for $500, and somebody had given us a $20 bill. And I said, I don't know what this means to you, but I said, that number is the amount of money that the Lord had come to our ministry today. She went, I knew it. He's been training me. I've been asking Him to become one of those gospel entrepreneurs. And she says, I'm in training. And she says, this is what He was saying, and I didn't want to believe it. Now she's not sure, and I'm not sure at this point, whether or not He wanted her to if she was the first choice to give that, whether she was just to match that, she don't know and I don't know. But I can tell you one thing that it did for me, it reassured our hearts. He's sure speaking to their hearts. She had no earthly way of knowing. $520, what are the odds? Somebody come up and write that number on a note and hand it to you. Where are they getting that information? She's getting that from the Holy Ghost. Now, she's in the early, early stages, but boy, it's a witness to her that she is hearing Him.
That's right, amen.
And it's a witness to us. He's speaking to folks. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. See? So we can continue to rest and continue just to obey Him. But isn't that a good thing? Now, the reason I started off with that $10 example, and then Sue talked about that $20 example, that's the way it begins. We're talking about accumulated or cumulative obedience, snowball of obedience. You know, it says the principle is this. If he finds you faithful in little, then he says, I know I'll find you faithful in much. Now, let's go on to some little bigger things. Not a whole lot, though. Now, I'll be honest with you. After I left the trucking business, all of that history is on the tapes that we send free, we didn't know what was going to happen next. We weren't real sure about what kind of ministry we were going to have. We were really in a limbo state. And that was during the time when he was having me walk the floor and confess those scriptures 4 hours a day and praying in tongues and really just beginning our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, the first instruction he ever gave us, ministry. Okay, I got to tell you this part. Now, boy, we were hurting for money. I'll just tell you, we had no ministry and no job, and it was we were hurting. Thank God for a few people that he was speaking to even really before our ministry began. That they would just hear the Holy Ghost and bring over $100 or fill up our car with gas. One time I didn't even have enough gas to go anywhere. So I went out and prayed in the backyard, walking around praying in the backyard. And God sent somebody Now the key is you don't tell nobody.
That's right.
You don't beg from nobody. You don't beg, you don't go to the church, you don't go to your neighbor, and you don't poor boy it in prayer. What do you mean by that? My brother, would you agree with me? Watch this. Y'all see my hand? Agree with me, brother, that God will send $100. Can y'all see what I'm doing? Agree with me, sister. What are you doing now? You're begging for $100. You're not getting somebody to agree with you in prayer. Don't you be doing that stuff. You don't be telling nobody. Now, if you're going to take your stand, take it. Our deal was this is God, or we're going to sleep under a bridge and wear gunny sacks. But we're not borrowing. We're not begging from the neighbors. We're not begging from our friends. And we're sure not begging from our church. God's going to train us up how to do this, or we're going to go under, period.
Amen.
You know? Well, anyhow, I got to tell you, though, my mind is just like your mind. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I got mouths, you know, I guess the kids were pretty well grown up then, but we had bills to pay. Had bills to pay, you know. So my mind, even though I'm trying to serve God with all my heart, I want to go into ministry, I got to tell you, right up there with that is, how in the name of God are we going to pay these bills? Well, the first instruction he ever gave me, and I'm trying to be transparent for you, the first instruction that I really got from the Holy Ghost, he says, I want you to start a Bible study in your home. And he even told me who to invite. It was about 30 people that we knew who had been on fire for God about 10 years before, but they'd been so hurt in churches that the way the Lord said it to me, he says, they don't hate me or anything, but he says, they've been so hurt they're never going to darken a church door again. He says, they don't hate me, they've just been hurt by religion. And so, but by not fellowshipping with the saints, they've kind of got into a backslid condition. They've just been hurt real bad. And he says, I want you to invite them to your home. I want you to make it very unchurchy. I want you to serve refreshments. Is it okay if I be honest? So that's okay with us. We can do that. Now, we didn't know how he was going to pay for anything. But hang on. We didn't know how he was going to pay for anything. Hallelujah.
When he told me about what the Lord was saying to him about having the Bible study in the house, I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to him, because for a couple of weeks before that, I would just be praying in the Spirit, you know, and I'd look outside the window and I'd see this sign that said, Bible study here tonight. Everyone welcome. And there was no sign there.
Amen. It's wonderful when your house is in agreement, you know. Now, not that it was easy on us. We didn't even know how we were going to furnish. I'll be honest with you. In those days when that Bible study started, we were in such trouble financially that I would preach just like you hear me preaching. In fact, those same tapes are going around the world still. Those same Bible study tapes. How many of you, I don't know, we got the boot camp series came out of there. The workbook series come out of there. The armor of God series come out of there. They're still blessing people all around the world, see? But during that time, I was preching it like we had 10 million bucks in the bank. That's how you do it. Now, we didn't have no money, but the house was clean. And it was picked up. And if you'd have come to that Bible study, you'd have thought we was well off. But on the inside, I'm praying to God, please don't let the electric company shut the power off till after everybody leaves. I mean, we're struggling, man. Y'all ever play that deal where you pay the gas bill this month so you can pay the electric bill next month? You know, okay? That's the kind of mode we were in. So when he first told me to start that Bible study, see, I know there's income through ministry. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, we'll start the Bible study. And people will come, and we'll at least be able to get a little bit of, donations through there until the next instruction comes. He says, oh yeah, don't take up any offerings from these people. And I'm going, Lord, this increases the outgo, not the inflow. Cumulative obedience now. So we did it. We never took up an offering, never said a word about money. Now, about three times in 2 years, you tell me if I'm about right, I think three times in 2 years, God moved on somebody who was there to take up an offering. And the Lord, He didn't say that couldn't happen. Didn't amount to a whole lot, but that's the only thing that ever happened. Now, I'm telling you all this, when we first started those Bible studies, the first attendance was pretty good. People, we had a pretty, maybe 30, we sent out 30 invitations. We probably had 25, 28 come. It was pretty good. But over the span of time, some of them dropped out and others would come and word of mouth would spread. So there was times, especially in the beginning, where it would kind of waver. We might have 20 some odd people 1 week. And I remember that 1 week we had like five, wasn't it five? Yeah. The night that prophecy come forward. And that was the least attendance we ever had, and the greatest prophecy we ever had. It was like God fed the hungry. God fed the hungry. And that's available still. We call it prophecy for the end times. And it's still available. But anyway, I'm getting to a point. But what we turned a corner somewhere. You just be faithful. You just keep on. God told me, He says, I don't care if not one person comes. You preach it to the air. My word spoken does not return to me void. Just preaching it to the air will make a difference. Now, we never did get down to none, but we had got down to five. But boy, somewhere in there it started turning a corner. Now, our house is not big. We just live in a little typical three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage house. I think it's 1,400 square feet. And the living room's not, I don't know, it's half as big as this section here. It's not real big. That thing started growing and started growing. And we were having there near the end about 55 people a week, average. We ain't got no 55 chairs now. We had borrowed some fold-out chairs, but people was all over, just sitting Indian style all over the floor. If you had to, we had them clear around little kitchens around the corner there, tiny little kitchens. Sue's in there fixing coffee and tea and ginger snap cookies because we could get a big bag of that for a dollar. to serve the people. And some of them even had to be standing around in there. I couldn't even see them from where I'm preaching from, People are starting to get saved. People are getting healed. A young man who became our son-in-law got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost at that Bible study. I mean, this one lady got healed long distance, believe it or not, of, I never can think, lactose intolerance. And that's a story. I don't want to go into details there. But all kinds of good stuff was happening. We'd been at this about 2 years. 55 people coming. Finally, get a little feeling like you're getting some kind of accomplishment going for the Lord. And now, cumulative obedience. Who was it told us to start that Bible study?
Holy God.
Now watch this. 2 years later, that same Holy Ghost comes and says, time to end the Bible study. Tonight is the last one. He didn't give me no warning. About 4 hours. Something, 2 or 3 hours, something like that. I went and talked with Sue. She says, I know it. I knew it was coming. I didn't know it was tonight, but I know it's time. Now I got to be honest with you. I had more trouble stopping the Bible study than I did starting the Bible study. my head, my thinking started getting in this. Well, first off, it felt like I was getting fired. You know? Like, if we don't have this Bible study, what is our ministry? Secondly, though, I'm thinking, I'm almost like making intercession for this thing. I'm going, God, it's just now starting to produce results. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, just when this thing's finally starting to seem like it's really doing some good, you want to end it? The listening, the silence was deafening. He gave me no reasons. He just said, this is it. This is the last Bible study tonight. I didn't like that answer. But we did it anyway. Now, when I told it that night, the people didn't understand it. You could hear it on that last tape. Have you heard it? You can hear it. I mean, why? I don't know. But we love this Bible study. I do too. Well, why would the Lord have? I don't know. I just know what the Lord's saying. And boy, I mean, it was crying and hugging and everything, and that was the last one. Well, cumulative obedience. In hindsight now, these years later, see, a lot of times you can't see what the Lord's doing. But in hindsight, you'll find He's always perfect. For one thing, He wasn't firing us, He was promoting us. What He started doing was having us begin really now the tape ministry mailing out in earnest. And those same messages now, instead of having us minister to 55 people a week, through that process we began ministering to 5,000 families, I don't know how many people, 5,000 families, households a month. Started teaching at the prayer center. He opened that door, which started opening doors and where we could minister to more people is what I'm talking about. And so He was promoting us, and it's not like He abandoned those people, because we were always telling them anyway, the church where we go is 2 miles from our house. We kept saying, now there's a church, you know, you gotta. So they had a perfectly good church to go to, so He wasn't abandoning them. But I'll tell you one of the main reasons that He did it, another reason. What do you do if your house, I mean, we're already in violation of the fire code. 55 people in our little bitty house. You ought to have seen the parked out in front every Thursday night for 2 blocks in each direction. Cars are parked on both sides of the street. We think the neighbors either thought it was a funeral or an Amway meeting. You know. What do you do? Okay, 55 we were still handling. But now what do you do if it's 70? And what do you do when it's 100? And what are you going to do if it's 150? What's the next logical step? We're going to start getting a building. Can y'all see that thing, without us even intending to, it would have evolved into a church? And it was about that time when the Holy Ghost told me, said, son, I've never called you to pastor. I never will call you to pastor. You are a teacher in the body of Christ. If He hadn't stopped that when He did, just by the natural course of events, I would have wound up pastoring a church that was not in His will. Looking back in hindsight, 2020. He knows what He's doing. Okay? Now, the reason I'm telling you all that, He is the Lord. Just like Paul and Silas was wanting to go into Asia, and He says no. And then they said, well, we're going to go into Bithynia, and He says no. Where do you want us to go? And by a vision or a night vision, showed him to go into Macedonia. Well, in the same way, He can, you know, it's not just us. He may have you start a ministry, have you start a work for Him. Then there may be a time later on, He says, that's the end of this. Okay, I'll tell you this one. Then all the examples doesn't have to be from our life, I guess. We have a pastor, Bronk Flint, who's going to be here someday. And his wife, Kathy. Bronk and Kathy.
Candy.
Excuse me, Candy.
Candy, uh-huh. Kathy, Bronk
Jim and Kathy, Bronk and Candy. Okay. Hey, when I'm like this, I can barely remember Sue's name. Okay, my mind is on something else here. But anyway, when God called him to go to this little poor church, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it's the town itself. It's Immokalee. Now you say Florida, everyone always thinks tourist town. Immokalee is not on the coast. Immokalee is 30, 40 miles inland. It's where the orange groves are. The population of this town doubles every summer when the migrants come in. You know, they pick the oranges and all of that. That's the kind of town it is. Most of those people don't even own cars. You'll see these buses, old school buses, painted different colors, and they come through in the morning before dawn picking them up. They take them out to the orange groves. They work all day, and then after dark, you'll see those buses coming back in. And at the time, Bronk and his wife, they ran a construction business. They lived about 30, 40 miles away up in Fort Myers, Florida. And it is a tourist town. And he was in the construction business and had a nice home, had a good thing going. His daddy was also in a construction business. It was two different companies. And so they're prosperous and doing good, you know, and they're going to a good church. And God starts dealing with him about pastoring this little church down in Immokalee. And God keeps dealing with him about it and dealing with him about it. And he says, finally, that pull just got so strong. He says, well, Lord, we're willing to do it, but it's going to take a little while. I mean, we've got this house that we'll have to put on the market. And you know it may take a few months, you know, to sell this thing. And then, Lord, I have this business. I have these employees, and I'm right in the middle of contracts. I can't just abandon these people that I've, you know, a man swears to his own hurt and changes not. I can't abandon these people. So, Lord, I'm willing to go all right, but it's going to take me a little while. Uh-huh. Instructions from heaven. You know what the Lord said to him? Oh, this isn't a problem. I want you to give your house, including all the equity, to so-and-so. Just do it today. Lord, we have quite a bit of equity in this house. He says, well, that's good. You'll bless them that way. But my business, Lord, I have these contracts and I have these employees. Oh, just give your business to your father. He's in the same business. You just give your house to him. Give your business to your dad. You could move this weekend. And they did. They did it. That's thinking a little bit outside the box, people. That's called a bond slave. That's called someone that's owned.
That's right.
Someone whose life is not their own. They've been bought with a price.
Amen.
See what we're talking about?
Blessed.
But see, now that's kind of a bigger thing, isn't it, than a $10 bill? But when Bronk comes, he'll be telling you history. God didn't start out. That's not the starting point. He'd been training them for years, just like he's been training you. But so often we dismiss those things because they don't make sense to us, and we don't realize we're in training. He's watching you. See if you'll obey him in little. If he finds you faithful there, he'll give you a little more to serve him with. If he finds you... I like to ask people this. I'm not looking at anybody now. You know, we looked at that steward last night. It says there was a certain rich man that had a steward. Well, who is our rich man in the body of Christ? That's Jesus. The question is, does he have any stewards? He's trying to find some people that'll steward his money. See, by definition, a steward is somebody that handles money for somebody else. So my question is people, I could trap you. I'd say, now, how many of y'all would like to be stewards for the Lord Jesus Christ? Every hand would go up, especially if I kind of shouted you into it. And I know how to do that. But every hand would go up, and I'd say, well, he's only got one question for you. And you go, what is that? His question is, what'd you do with the last $100 he sent you? Extra 100, I'm talking about. Or extra 50. See? Did the thought ever cross your mind, even? Most of the time it doesn't with us. I'll tell you another story. I can't help the ones he brings up now. Oh, Lord. We have a friend. I won't mention her name. We just love her to pieces. She was hearing me. This was years ago. This was about 98, probably 99, when I was teaching on stewarding the pound for the first time. And I was telling them, you need to, if you're going to be a steward for somebody else, then obviously, you know, of the money that comes your way, some of it's yours and some of it's his. Otherwise, how are you his steward? So I was teaching on that, and I said, one thing you could do, you know, to get started, you could ask the Lord to send you an extra $100 and have it come some unusual way so that when it comes, you'll recognize that. And you say, oh, okay, here's my stewardship. Then you can ask him, what do you want me to do with it? See, I like being real with the Lord. I taught that. Our friend did that. She said, Lord, I'd like to get in training. Lord, if you'll send an extra $100 my way, that's going to be the start of my stewardship. And I won't spend that money on myself, and I'll take that $100, and I'll ask you what you want to do with it. Trouble is, about 2 weeks went by from the time she prayed that prayer till $100 came. During that 2 weeks, she forgot all about the prayer. $100 came, she went and spent it on shoes. She just totally forgot, you know. It wasn't like being mean, but she just slipped into the old habit. That's the way we are. That's just the normal way. Extra money comes. Now I can get that pair of shoes. Or, you know, if you're a guy, now I can buy that software I've been wanting to buy or something, you know. Whatever it is that pushes your button. So then she come to herself after a few days. I don't remember whether the Lord said or she just come to herself. But it dawned on her. Oh, yeah. Lord, I prayed and asked you for $100. And when the $100 came, Lord, I forgot. I mean, she just being real honest. What else are you going to do, you know? Lord, I just totally forgot. And I went and spent it on myself. I don't have another $100, Lord. Lord, I'll make a deal with you. We just love her to pieces. Because see, I think the Lord loves that. When we're honest with Him and treat Him like He's real. How would you talk to your daddy? See? And she says, Lord, if you'll send another $100, I'll steward this one. I won't forget it this time. And you know He did. And she didn't forget.
All right.
And that began her stewardship.
Amen.
See, that's why I say, what'd you do with the last extra $100 He sent you? See? So anyway, we're talking about accumulative obedience. Now, I'm talking to you now after us being in ministry just these few years. It's not really been all that long. And really, it started with those simple things. $10, start a little Bible study. But then after he ended the Bible study, there's been step by step by step. I've got some things he's telling me now that we're going to have to start going on later on. See, I don't know how big he wants us to get. I warned our staff. Our staff is our three daughters and our son-in-law, Kyle. And I thank God for that, because all three of our daughters did their best to go to hell on it. But they were just born into the wrong family for that. So, you know, now they're all three saved, filled with the Spirit, and serving, you know, working with us in the ministry. And Kyle. Kyle never did try and go to hell, thank God, according to his mother. Just got saved real young and served Jesus all his life. That's a good deal. But I warn them all the time, because, boy, we're busy people. They are busy and we're busy. And I tell them all the time, I say, because the struggle people, you ought to write this down. I think I had them, I don't know whether I said it in this church or the last church I was in, but either way, you need to get this. And I'm saying it this way on purpose, because I know I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. I'm not a novice. I've been at this a while. Just write it down, quote, nobody has time to pray. Nobody does. We didn't. And if I was to interview you one-on-one, you don't either. But see, nobody in history ever has. Because life is so daily. You remember the task, the first thing that Pharaoh did as a type and shadow? When Moses comes and says, let my people go out and worship God in the wilderness, what was the first thing he did? Take away the straw. Yet they have to produce the same tally of bricks. In other words, these people got too much free time. I'll get them so busy working in the world or working with whatever it is, I'm going to get them so busy they'll forget all about spending time with their God. And he's not forgot that tactic. And that's one of the number one things he uses in America. The reason I had you quote that is not because it's true. It's because it's what everybody says. And it seems that way. But if you're going to change, if you want your life different 5 years from now than it is today, you have got to start carving out some time to spend with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I would make my first goal, if you're not already praying 1 hour a day, I would make that my first target. Now if you say, well, Gary, I absolutely don't see any way I can do that. How about 15 minutes? And then maybe another 15 minutes. And then maybe another 15 minutes. You can get an hour in there somewhere. And then as you begin praying and let the Holy Spirit pray the mind of Christ through you, don't you think He's more interested in your prayer life than you are? Don't you know some of that we know not what to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit, He makes intercession for us according to the perfect will of God. Don't you reckon He knows you need more prayer time? Part of the things He's going to be interceding for you is ways to make more prayer time. But if He doesn't find you faithful in little, He's not going to make you master over more. You got to make up your mind to start somewhere. Does that make sense to you guys? Well, I don't know how. I warned my staff. The reason I said that is the tendency is to get too busy to pray. And I said, now, y'all look at where He's brought us in these few short years. I says, we're struggling to stay in prayer. I said, now listen, what if it's His mind to double the size of this ministry where we have to do twice as many tapes? How are you going to pray then? What if it's His mind to make it 100 times bigger? How are you going to pray then? I said, listen, prayer, listening, and obedience is what got us this far.
That's right, amen.
And prayer, listening, and obedience is what's going to take us the rest of the way.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
If we all fall out of prayer, now it's not a matter of if the devil's going to take us out. It's just a matter of when. You cut off the supply line of any army, you can win that war without firing a shot. You cut off the communications between them and headquarters. You cut off their fuel supplies. You cut off their ammunition supplies. Just a matter of time, isn't it? Well, the devil's number one tactic is to cut the communication line, the fellowship line between us and the Comforter that Jesus sent. He is our communication line to heaven. He's the one that brings those letters from home, that news from home we talked about yesterday. And if you get cut off from that, then you are an orphan. Now you got to start doing things your way. You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. Now it's just a matter of time. We've got to have the mind of Christ. I'll tell you one other thing He said, if I can find it here real quick. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to read on about three more paragraphs, okay? This is my first closing. For those on my tape list, what does that mean? Nothing at all. But it does. Let me read that last one to get your thinking going the right way again. Then I'm going to read on a little bit more. He told me, he said, you're still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel. You will receive these instructions. Now get this. These instructions are being spoken even now to your spirit as you yield time in prayer to me. But your mind has not yet moved into the Lamb's room of fellowship. Your mind at this moment is still in the room of man. Understand that I am taking you into the Lamb's room of fellowship. Few enter this room. It's a different realm of operation from the carnal mind. Boy, you got that right. The mind has difficulty receiving instruction in this room. He says, I'm moving you into that room with every hour you give me. Be encouraged to know this. Once your mind has tasted the instruction that comes in this room, you will have entered upon a higher walk and a higher path that you'll never step down from all the days of your life. Then I'll finish it up with this. There's so much there. One of the things he said to me was, he says, without him, you can do nothing. And he said, without me, you'll never have his mind. And that's why the enemy has actually fought the message of tongues harder than he has the message of the cross. Now, you know that's true. I can take you to the church I grew up in, and you can sit there and they will accurately preach to you Christ and Him crucified. And you can be born again in that church. But in that same church, if you even begin to start speaking in other tongues, you will be branded a heretic and receive the left foot of fellowship immediately. Why in the world? I couldn't understand that. Why would the devil fight praying in other tongues even harder than he would the message of the cross? When I get this. This is my second closing. See, the devil in his pride, he does esteem himself to be God. And he esteems us to be beneath contempt. The devil doesn't care about you at all. He doesn't care whether you go to heaven or hell. You know what he cares about? That you never have any power. That you're never able to disrupt or interrupt or affect anything he wants to do. He doesn't care about you. Just so long as you can't do anything against His kingdom. Well, being born again is one thing. Walking in power is another. You're not going to... Jesus Himself, you check it, Dad, it's not heresy. You check it for yourself. Jesus, born of the Holy Ghost, spawned in Mary's womb directly by the Spirit of God, yet He Himself performed no miracle, did no supernatural work, did not cast out one devil, did not heal one person till He Himself was baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the devil watched that whole deal. And he knows if Jesus can't operate in power without the Holy Ghost, there's sure no chance we're going to. And that's why he's fought that message, especially about other tongues, because that's the primary way that God designed for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to be released on the inside of us, to grow us up and mature us where we can understand these things. So just know, that's the reason I told you, nobody has time to pray in tongues. The devil will make sure of it. I'll give you one other quote by Tim Stemple. This is my last closing, I promise. I'm going to give you two quotes. These two things changed my life. First time I heard them, each one of them, I printed them out on a sheet of paper and I put them on my bathroom mirror where I knew I'd at least see it a couple times a day. Some people in here would see that 20 times a day. And they're looking in that mirror anyway. That's a joke. Pastor Dave says, I know we could increase the percentage of people arriving to church on time if we just remove the mirrors out of their home. Anyway, here's the two sayings. Tim Stemple says this, whatever took you out of prayer last week, that's what the devil looks like in your life. Even if it was good things, like your job, your ministry, even your grandchildren. Now, if you know Tim Stemple at all, he is not saying don't have a job or be bad at ministry. Or don't be good to your grandchildren. That's not Tim. What he's saying is, if those things keep you away from the prayer closet, you're never going to grow up spiritually. You're never going to walk in any power. So even good things can be used by the enemy if the end result is no prayer. Then the other quote, he says, if you don't plan your time, the devil will steal it. Now that I credit that statement right there with saving our very lives. Because when I finally, the way I say it is, don't leave your prayer life to chance. After hearing these messages for three nights or tonight or however, how many of y'all have a desire to increase your time praying in other tongues? Good intentions don't count for squat. The devil will steal your time next week like he stole it last week. You're going to have to, see, I don't leave my prayer life to chance. I plan it. I schedule it like I would a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment. Hey, when you're hurting, you got a tooth swole out there about 3 inches, and the dentist says he can see you Thursday morning at 10. You're going to be there at 10 o'clock. If you have to change your whole world, you're going to be there at 10 o'clock Thursday. And that's what, well, why? Because you know that dentist can help you. But yet, when it comes to us spending time with the helper, the one Jesus called alongside to help, well, I intend to be with you. Yes, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do better next week. And he's going, when? Well, you know, and it's not, we don't say it like this, but what we really mean by that, if you don't plan it, when everything else that's more important is done, then I'll give you the crumbs of my life. Well, that's what I was doing. I don't know what you'd call it. Why don't we start putting him first? When I'm in town, I plan my prayer life for the whole week. I can tell you Sunday what hours I'll be in prayer Monday. And you will not be able to reach me either. Not by phone, nor any other way. Yeah, but what if it's an emergency? If it's that big an emergency, he'll tell me and I'll call you. Yeah, but what I've got to say to you is really important. It's not as important as the one I'm with. Amen? Now this is not, you're not going to hear this at most churches. Plan your prayer time. Don't leave it to chance. The devil will steal it. Say, well, you know, set some kind of goal. Or how much do you want to pray? How much do you want to change? See? You got to get desperate for change. Hallelujah. I don't ever finish. I just have to quit. So for tonight, I quit. Did that bless you all? Did you get anything out of that?